Catechetical Lectures by St. Cyril of Jerusalem. Lecture 4, Part 2. Of the Soul. Next to the knowledge of this venerable and glorious and all-holy faith, learn further what thou thyself art, that as man thou art of a twofold nature, consisting of soul and body, and that, as was said a short time ago, the same God is the creator both of soul and body. Know also that thou hast a soul self-governed, the noblest work of God, made after the image of its creator, immortal because of God that gives it immortality, a living being, rational, imperishable, because of him who bestowed these gifts, having free power to do what it wills. For it is not according to thy nativity that thou sinnest, nor is it by the power of chance that thou committest fornication, nor, as some idly talk, do the conjunctions of the stars compel thee to give thyself to wantonness. Why dost thou shrink from confessing thine own evil deeds, and ascribe the blame to the innocent stars? Give no more heed, pray, to astrologers. For of these the divine scripture saith, Let the stargazers of the heavens stand up and save thee. And what follows? Behold, they all shall be consumed as stubble on the fire, and shall not deliver their soul from the flame. And learn this also, that the soul, before it came into the world, had committed no sin, but having come in sinless, we now sin of our own free will. Listen not, I pray thee, to any one perversely interpreting the words, But if I do that which I would not, but remember him who saith, If ye be willing and hearken unto me, ye shall eat the good things of the land. But if ye be not willing, neither hearken unto me, the sword shall devour you, etc. And again, As ye presented your members as servants to uncleanness and to iniquity upon iniquity, even so now present your members as servants to righteousness unto sanctification. Remember also the scripture which saith, Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and that which may be known of God is manifest in them, and again, their eyes they have closed. Also remember how God again accuseth them, and saith, Yet I planted thee a fruitful vine, wholly true. How art thou turned to bitterness? Thou the strange vine. The soul is immortal, and all souls are alike, both of men and women, for only the members of the body are distinguished. There is not a class of souls sinning by nature and a class of souls practicing righteousness by nature, but both act from choice, the substance of their souls being of one kind only, and alike in all. I know, however, that I am talking much, and that the time is already long. But what is more precious than salvation? Art thou not willing to take trouble in getting provisions for a way against the heretics? And wilt thou not learn the bypaths of the road, lest from ignorance thou fall down a precipice? If thy teachers think it no small gain for thee to learn these things, Should not thou, the learner, gladly receive the multitude of things told thee? The soul is self-governed, and though the devil can suggest, he has not the power to compel against the will. He pictures to thee the thought of fornication. If thou wilt, thou acceptest it. If thou wilt not, thou rejectest. For if thou wert a fornicator by necessity, then for what cause did God prepare hell? If thou wert a doer of righteousness by nature and not by will, wherefore did God prepare crowns of ineffable glory? The sheep is gentle, but it was never crowned for its gentleness, since its gentle quality belongs to it not from choice, but by nature. Of the body. Thou hast learned, beloved, the nature of the soul, as far as there is time at present. Now, do thy best to receive the doctrine of the body also. Suffer none of those who say that this body is no work of God. For they who believe that the body is independent of God, and that the soul dwells in it as in a strange vessel, readily abuse the body to fornication. And yet, what fault have they found in this wonderful body? For what is lacking in comeliness? And what in its structure is not full of skill? Ought they not to have observed the luminous construction of the eyes? And how the ears, being set obliquely, receive the sound unhindered? And how the smell is able to distinguish scents and to perceive exhalations? And how the tongue ministers to two purposes, the sense of taste and the power of speech? How the lungs, placed out of sight, are unceasing in their respiration of the air? Who imparted the incessant pulsation of the heart? Who made the distribution into so many veins and arteries? Who skillfully knitted together the bones with the sinews? Who assigned a part of the food to our substance, and secreted a part for decent secretion, and hid away the unseemly members in more seemly places? Who, when the human race must have died out, rendered it, by a simple intercourse, perpetual? Tell me not that the body is the cause of sin. For if the body is a cause of sin, why does not a dead body sin? Put a sword in the right hand of one just dead, and no murder takes place. Let beauties of every kind pass before a youth just dead, and no impure desire arises. Why? Because the body sins not of itself, but the soul through the body. The body is an instrument, and as it were, a garment and robe of the soul. And if this, by the latter, be given over to fornication, the body becomes defiled. But if the body dwell with a holy soul, it becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit. It is not I that say this, but the Apostle Paul, who hath said, "Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you?" Be tender, therefore, of thy body, as being a temple of the Holy Spirit. Pollute not thy flesh in fornication. Defile not this fairest robe. And if ever thou hast defiled it, now cleanse it by repentance. Get thyself washed while time permits. And to the doctrine of chastity, let the first to give heed be the order of solitaries and of virgins, who maintain the angelic life in the world, and let the rest of the church's people follow them. For you, brethren, a great crown is laid up. Barter not away a great dignity for a petty pleasure. Listen to the apostle speaking. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one mess of meat sold his own birthright. Enrolled henceforth in the angelic books for thy profession of chastity, see thou be not blotted out again for thy practice of fornication. Nor again, on the other hand, in maintaining thy chastity, be thou puffed up against those who walk in the humbler path of matrimony. For as the apostle saith, "Let marriage be had in honor among all, and let the bed be undefiled." Thou too who retainest thy chastity, wast thou not begotten of those who had married? Because thou hast a possession of gold, do not on that account reprobate the silver. But let those also be of good cheer who, being married, use marriage lawfully, who make a marriage according to God's ordinance, and not of wantonness for the sake of unbounded license, who recognize seasons of abstinence, that they may give themselves unto prayer, who in our assemblies bring clean bodies as well as clean garments into the church, who have entered upon matrimony for the procreation of children, but not for indulgence. Let those also who marry but once not reprobate those who have consented to a second marriage. For though continence is a noble and admirable thing, yet it is also permissible to enter upon a second marriage, that the weak may not fall into fornication. For it is good for them, saith the apostle, if they abide even as I. But if they have not continency, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. But let all the other practices be banished afar, fornication, adultery, and every kind of licentiousness. And let the body be left pure for the Lord, that the Lord may also have respect unto the body. And let the body be nourished with food, that it may live and serve without hindrance. Not, however, that it may be given up to luxuries. Concerning meats. And concerning food, let these be your ordinances, since in regards to meats also many stumble. For some deal indifferently with things offered to idols, while others discipline themselves, but condemn those that eat. And in different ways men's souls are defiled in the matter of meats, from ignorance of the useful reasons for eating and not eating. For we fast by abstaining from wine and flesh, not because we abhor them as abominations, but because we look for our reward, that having scorned things of the senses, we may enjoy a spiritual and intellectual feast, and that, having now sown in tears, we may reap in joy in the world to come. Despise not, therefore, them that eat, and because of the weakness of their bodies, partake of food. Nor yet blame these who use a little wine for their stomach's sake and their often infirmities. And neither condemn the men as sinners, nor abhor the flesh as strange food. For the apostle knows some of these sorts, who when he says, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by them that believe. In abstaining, then, from these things, abstain not as from things abominable, else thou hast no reward. But as being good things, disregard them for the sake of the better spiritual things set before thee. Guard thy soul safely, lest at any time thou eat of things offered to idols. For concerning meats of this kind, not only I at this time, but before now, apostles also, and James, the bishop of this church, have had earnest care. And the apostles and elders write a Catholic epistle to all the Gentiles, that they should abstain first from things offered to idols, and then from blood also, and from things strangled. For many men, being of savage nature and living like dogs, both lap up blood, in imitation of the manner of the fiercest beasts, and greedily devour things strangled. But do thou, the servant of Christ, in eating, observe to eat with reverence. And so, enough concerning meats. Of apparel. But let thine apparel be plain, not for adornment, but for necessary covering, not to minister to thy vanity, but to keep thee warm in winter, and to hide the unseemliness of the body, lest under pretense of hiding the unseemliness thou fall into another kind of unseemliness by thy extravagant dress. Of the Resurrection. Be tender, I beseech thee, of this body, and understand that thou wilt be raised from the dead, to be judged with this body. But if there steal into thy mind any thought of unbelief, as though the thing were impossible, judge of the things unseen by what happens to thyself. For tell me, 100 years ago or more, think where wast thou thyself, and from what a most minute and mean substance thou art come to so great a stature, and so much dignity of beauty. What then? Cannot he who brought the non-existent into being raise up again that which already exists and has decayed? He who raises the corn which is sown for our sakes, as year by year it dies, will he base difficulty in raising us up, for whose sakes that corn also has been raised? Seest thou how the trees stand now for many months without either fruit or leaves? But when the winter is past, they spring up whole into life again, as if from the dead. Shall not we much rather and more easily return to life? The rod of Moses was transformed by the will of God into the unfamiliar nature of a serpent. And cannot a man who has fallen into death be restored to himself again? Heed not those who say that this body is not raised, for it is raised. And Isaiah is witness when he says, "The dead shall arise, and they that are in the tomb shall awake." And according to Daniel, "Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall arise, some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting shame." But though to rise again is common to all men, yet the resurrection is not alike to all. For the bodies received by us all are eternal, but not like bodies by all. For the just receive them, that through eternity they may join the choirs of angels, but the sinners, that they may endure forever the torment of their sins. Of the Laver. For this cause the Lord, preventing us according to his loving kindness, has granted repentance at baptism, in order that we may cast off the chief, nay, rather the whole, burden of our sins, and, having received the seal by the Holy Spirit, may be made heirs of eternal life. But, as we have spoken sufficiently concerning the laver the day before yesterday, let us now return to the remaining subjects of our introductory teaching. Of the Divine Scriptures. Now, these the divinely inspired scriptures of both the Old and the New Testament teach us. For the God of the two Testaments is one, who in the Old Testament foretold the Christ who appeared in the New, who by the law and the prophets led us to Christ's school. For before faith came, we were kept in ward under the law, and the law hath been our tutor to bring us unto Christ. And if ever thou hear any of the heretics speaking evil of the law or the prophets, answer in the sound of the Savior's voice, saying, "Jesus came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." Learn also diligently, and from the church, what are the books of the Old Testament, and what those of the New? And pray, read none of the apocryphal writings. For why dost thou, who knowest not those which are acknowledged among all, trouble thyself in vain about those which are disputed? Read the divine scriptures, the 22 books of the Old Testament, these that have been translated by the 72 interpreters. For after the death of Alexander, the king of the Macedonians, and the division of his kingdom into four principalities, into Babylonia and Macedonia and Asia and Egypt. One of those who reigned over Egypt, Ptolemy Philadelphus, being a king very fond of learning, while collecting the books that were in every place, heard from Demetrius Phalereus, the curator of his library, of the divine scriptures of the law and the prophets, and judged it much nobler not to get the books from the possessors by force against their will, but rather to propitiate them by gifts and friendship. And knowing that what is extorted is often adulterated, being given unwillingly, while that which is willingly supplied is freely given with all sincerity, he sent to Eleazar, who was then high priest, a great many gifts for the temple here at Jerusalem, and caused him to send him 6 interpreters from each of the 12 tribes of Israel for the translation. Then, further to make experiment whether the books were divine or not, he took precaution that those who had been sent should not combine among themselves, by assigning to each of the interpreters his own separate chamber in the island called Pharos, which lies over against Alexandria, and committed to each the whole scriptures to translate. And when they had fulfilled the task in 72 days, he brought together all their translations, which they had made in different chambers without sending them one to another, and found that they agreed not only in the sense, but even in words. For the process was no wordcraft, nor contrivance of human devices, but the translation of the divine scriptures, spoken by the Holy Ghost, was by the Holy Ghost accomplished. Of these, read the 22 books, but have nothing to do with the apocryphal writings. Study earnestly these only which we read openly in the church. Far wiser and more pious than thyself were the apostles and the bishops of old time, the presidents of the church who handed down these books. Being therefore a child of the church, trench thou not upon its statutes. And of the Old Testament, as we have said, study the 22 books, which, if thou art desirous of learning, strive to remember by name as I recite them. For of the law, the books of Moses are the first 5, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and next Joshua the son of Nave, and the book of Judges, including Ruth, counted as 7th. And of the other historical books, the 1st and 2nd books of the Kings are among the Hebrews 1 book, and also the 3rd and 4th are 1 book. And in like manner, the 1st and 2nd of Chronicles are with them 1 book, and the 1st and 2nd of Esdras are counted 1. Esther is the 12th book, and these are the historical writings. But those which are written in verses are 5, Job, and the book of Psalms, and Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Songs, which is the 17th book. And after these come the 5 prophetic books of the 12 prophets 1 book, of Isaiah 1, of Jeremiah 1, including Baruch, and the Lamentations, and the Epistle, then Ezekiel, and the book of Daniel, the 22nd of the Old Testament. Then of the New Testament there are the 4 Gospels only, for the rest have false titles and are mischievous. The Manichaeans also wrote a Gospel according to Thomas, which being tinctured with the fragrance of the evangelic title, corrupts the souls of the simple sort. Receive also the Acts of the 12 Apostles, and in addition to these, the 7 Catholic Epistles of James, Peter, John, and Jude, and as a seal upon them all, and the last work of the disciples, the 14 Epistles of Paul. But let all the rest be put aside in a secondary rank. And whatever books are not read in churches, these read not even by thyself, as thou hast heard me say. Thus much of these subjects. But shun thou every diabolical operation, and believe not the apostate serpent, whose transformation from a good nature was of his own free choice. who can overpersuade the willing, but can compel no one. Also, give heed neither to the observations of the stars, nor auguries, nor omens, nor to the fabulous divinations of the Greeks. Witchcraft and enchantment and the wicked practices of necromancy admit not even to a hearing. From every kind of intemperance, stand aloof, giving thyself neither to gluttony nor licentiousness, rising superior to all covetousness and usury. Neither venture thyself at heathen assemblies for public spectacles, nor ever use amulets in sicknesses. Shun also all of our vulgarity of tavern haunting. Fall not away either into the sects of the Samaritans nor into Judaism, for Jesus Christ henceforth hath ransomed thee. Stand aloof from all observance of Sabbaths and from calling any indifferent meats common or unclean. But especially abhor all the assemblies of wicked heretics, and in every way make thine own soul safe, by fasting, prayer, almsgiving, and reading the oracles of God. But having lived the rest of thy life in the flesh, in soberness and godly doctrine, thou mayest enjoy the one salvation which flows from baptism, and, thus enrolled in the armies of heaven by God and the Father, mayest also be deemed worthy of the heavenly crowns. In Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom be the glory for ever and ever. End of lecture. Amen.